And I encourage you, unless you're driving a car, to stand to your feet where you're at. If you need a miracle in that household, if you need a miracle in a marriage relationship, if you need a miracle in a financial breakthrough, this is the day that the Lord has made. We serve a supernatural God. He has not ran out of miracles. And Father God, as we stand together, not only with those here in our congregation, but those that are standing with you, Lord, right now in their homes and in their workplaces, wherever they're at right now, we're thanking you for a release of your kingdom, Lord. You said inside us, we house the kingdom of the Holy Ghost. We pray for a release of signs and wonders. We pray for a loosening of the gift of healings and the working of miracles in the lives of people that are standing. They're your sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters. And we're thanking you right now. We're prophesying as those have stood, believing for the prodigal sons and daughters to come home. We stand in agreement, come home. We lift up everyone that's in pain right now. Brother Johnny, as you tune in, lay hands on that wrist. We call that wrist whole in Jesus' name. Pain, go. And we thank you, Lord, and give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thank yous go to you, Lord. And all of us in agreement said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to dismiss our children, nursery, to go. I do want to challenge those that have tuned in on Facebook. It's very, very important. The Bible says don't just listen to what people say, but look at the fruit. And on here in Saginaw Valley, we have a ministry that helps churches and Christians throughout the area called Right to Life. And on that, they help tell us in this region who's running for office and who supports the lives in the mother's bellies. And I'm going to encourage you, wherever you live, get a hold of Right to Life and get a flyer that will tell you the most essential, most innocent, most vulnerable are those that the church has got to stand in the gap for. And you need to know who stands for life. And here in Saginaw, we know. So we will vote according to that. It's not about whose personality you like or don't like. It's who has stood for righteousness. Here in Michigan, and I know across the land, over 300 conservative pro-life judges have been placed in office. And we're lifting up Amy Barrett for tomorrow, believing God to get this Pentecostal sister in the Lord that loves to worship her God. And we see her interpreting the Constitution as it's meant to be. And we give you the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Very important, church, that we do not just sit back and hope everybody understands. When we have up to, 2,100 or something viewed a few weeks ago, we know that it's not just God's getting the message out. It's not just for right here. We thank God that it is for here, but there's no distance in the spirit realm. Amen? So we're grateful and we're thankful, and we don't just come together to think that nothing happens. We believe mighty things happen, so praise God. Amen? So last week when I was sharing with you, we talked about keeping our eyes focused on the Lord because it's right now a very tough time. We see darkness on the earth. We see gross darkness on people. But the Lord says our hope needs to stay in Him. Yep. We need to do our part, but our hope is still in the Lord. Amen? Amen? In fact, it even tells us in Hebrews 11, I think I gave you that scripture back again, that our hope in the Lord is the anchor of our thinking. It may say soul in your version, but it means your thinking. It keeps you from swaying left and right and getting caught up in emotions or storms of life. It keeps you grounded and founded on who gives us the peace and the joy, and His name is Jesus. And that's who we lift up again this day. Scripture that somebody gave to me in a card this week I thought was pertinent out of Romans 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so we abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. So today, I want you to turn your Bibles. If you brought them, I know you've got a handout. And God bless Sister Lynn, who puts a lot of where I'm going to go on Scripture. your version might be something that sticks out to your heart. I use the New King James, Spirit-filled version of the Word of God. And I love the input I get from others that have gone on and many that are still serving God. But I want to talk about having ears now to hear instead of staying deaf and dumb. Right. Now, I'm not talking about the dumb not speaking. I'm talking about the ignorance. You say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't say that from the pulpit. You know, Paul did. Paul was always challenging the Christians. I don't want you to stay ignorant. Concerning this. I don't want you to stay dumb concerning this. In other words, he knew there were Christians that did not have the understanding or the knowledge, so he challenged them, not to beat them up, but to encourage them, don't stay the way you've been, but get changed. Amen? Amen? So we look at that, and I'm at Matthew 11. Ears to hear. Everybody do this with me. I like to as a, put your hands on your ears. Say this after me. Thank you, Jesus. I not only hear in the natural, but I hear in the spirit realm. In Jesus' name. Amen. Because the hearing that the Lord is referring to is not just the hearing that we hear naturally. It's also hearing in the spirit realm. That which the world can't relate with, but we can. The Bible says this. Matthew, this is Jesus speaking as he's training up his servants, beginning at verse 13. It says, and he is just now giving reference because John the Baptist is being used in a powerful way. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who has come. Now, everybody look at me before I go any further. Was John Baptist actually Elijah? No, but you that have ears to hear what the Spirit by the living Jesus is trying to convey. He says, but to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace, calling to their fellow children and saying this, we played the flute and you did not dance. We mourned, and you did not cry out. This was children trying to encourage other children. Now, we're supposed to be maturing and not stay as children. So you understand children play games and whatever to try to get children involved. Verse 18, John came neither eating nor drinking, and the world said he's got a demon. The Son of Man, Jesus, came eating and drinking, and they said, look at him, he's a glutton, and he's a wine bipper. He's a friend to tax collectors. He's friends to sinners. And if you don't have this last line underlined, you need to, because this is a profound statement that Jesus was trying to convey. But wisdom is justified by her children. In other words, wisdom that we get has everything to do with what we or others are reproducing. If it's healthy children or healthy nuggets, it's good. Wisdom follows that which is right, which is biblical, which is the living Word of God. And we know a tree by its what? That's why Jesus is trying to convey, you need to make sure that you're evaluating those that you're listening to by those that have fruit in their lives. Look with me at Matthew chapter 13. Continuing on, Jesus trying to straighten out their dogma. Beginning at verse 14. And the Bible says this, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. He's not talking about the natural ears here. Right. He's talking about the followers of him. Their ears have become hard of hearing. Their eyes have become closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that they would allow me to heal them. Jesus has already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and Jesus is setting the stage to tell them, if you will keep ears open to hear and eyes to see, you will allow the Spirit of the living God to touch you, encourage you, and strengthen you. Yep. We're no longer going to be dull of hearing or blinded by the god of this world. In 1 Corinthians 4, the Bible says the god of this world has come. Now, what you always have to understand when you're going through the epistles, after we get out of Acts and we read the epistles, it's always to cities, Christians. He's not addressing the Gentiles or the, unless they got saved, he's addressing believers. Paul is trying to encourage believers to get stronger and more understanding of what they already own because of what he did on the cross. So he spent most of his time sorting out stupidity. And that's why he would tell when they were all fearful, oh my gosh, my loved one died. Why did that happen? And they were crying and moaning. He tells the church at Thessalonica, don't be ignorant like the unbelievers, realizing this isn't the end. This is graduation day. They're going to be with me, and you'll soon join them as a believer. Don't be ignorant. Don't be dumb. Don't be stupid. And so we realize, wow, eternity is forever. And whatever time God allows us down here, hopefully it's going to be a blessing to others. Say others. Our mission as disciples of Christ is not just about us. It's about what he deposits in us that we receive freely, we give it away. Amen? So, Hebrews 12, 25 through 28. You can turn to it. It's in your notes. The Bible says, once again, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. And I'm going to try to get believers to focus on that which cannot be shaken. And that's the kingdom of God and Jesus. The only name that the church should be raising up isn't following some superman or superwoman. It's to raise up Jesus. If I be lifted up, Jesus will draw everyone from me. Our role, shaking's going on. It's happening in the church, and it's a good thing. The church is being shaken because a lot of stupidity is shaking us free. Things that aren't gospel or biblical, we've allowed to saturate in church life, and God is shaking us free from that because he's got a higher level of authority called the living word of God, the biblical truth that he's never changed his mind. He's the Lord God that changes not. But he's watched the church get ignorant and transition away. And he's saying, your hope's in me. Have ears to hear what I'm trying to get to you. I like how Jesus said, your tradition makes the word of God of none effect. You get so caught up, well, I was raised this way, so that's how my mom and dad voted, and this is how my grandpa and grandma did, and this is my church I was raised in. But is it biblical? And if it isn't, get out of that ignorant state and get on board. Look at the fruit. Wow, God is good. Which takes me to the messed up church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians, one of my favorite sections of Scripture that I always pray that will impact believers to the dimension, that it will get them outside themselves and get them focusing on others. It's a hard thing because the natural flesh wants people to love you, wants people to seek you, wants you to be significant, and it's a continuous thing, and it's crept into the church. So we've got people, Christians, seeking man instead of seeking Jesus. But let's not go there yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul to the church of Corinth, which was carnal, which was ignorant, which was continuously doing stupid religious things that God had set them free from. You can't get to heaven unless you're circumcised. And on and on. I'm thinking, don't be ignorant. Come on. And this is what he says. I do not write these things. Now notice, he's writing this to Christians. That's us. I'm not writing these things to shame you. But as my beloved children, I'm writing them to warn you. Okay, everybody look at me a second. Did Paul have any biological kids? Absolutely no. He wasn't married. He devoted all his life once he got changed on the road to Damascus. All he did was serve God and help others. But he became a father, a spiritual father, and he raised up sons, and I'm sure daughters too, to take what they learned to help others. I like Paul throughout his journey. He says, there's things I'm choosing not to do, not because they're going to keep me out of heaven. I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. I mean, that's a level of maturity. That's not a little child trying to get somebody to do what they want them to do. That's somebody that's trying to make someone stronger than themselves. That was Paul. And so he goes on and says this, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. In my journey, in my walk, I thank God I had a good spiritual father, but I have found it's rare to be raised by a spiritual father. What I found in the church, fathers have been absent in a lot of different cultures, but it's also the culture of Christendom. Because we have not had that, we've had to resort to following instructors. Instructors make it a job. A father imparts something that's going to make you better. An instructor wants you to think good of them because they're the instructor and they're fulfilling a job. Another translation calls those instructors boy leaders. A boy leader just wants a bunch of boys and girls to follow what they say. So they use it as a tool of controlling them to get them to do what they want them to do for their good. And what Paul is saying, you got thousands of those, but you don't have many fathers. Because fathers impart and produce in others to make them better. So they don't have to go through the nonsense that so many went through. Church, there is a cry, fathers arise. And mothers. Bible says you older mothers are not to think you ever retire. You're supposed to train up the younger women to learn how to love their husbands and learn how to be a mighty woman of God. We have that destiny if we're fathers and mothers in God. Amen. It gets beyond just thinking of ourselves. Well, my own biology family, they're not my blood. We're all of his blood.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, he says, and this is profound, verse 16, therefore I am encouraging you to imitate me. Notice what he's not saying. He's not saying, I'm encouraging you to raise me up and make me be that great teacher. No, he's saying, imitate me. And another version in Corinthians, it says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. For this reason, I'm sending Timothy to you, who is my beloved, faithful son in the Lord. This is one of his, himself, he reproduced, that have others' best good. And it says, teach everywhere in every church. Now, some in the church are puffed up, big heads, as though I wasn't coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, the Lord wills, and I will know, now listen, I will know not by what you say who are puffed up, but I'll know by the fruit, yours may say power. I'm telling you, we're to produce ourselves in others. We need to encourage fathers and mothers. Imitate me as I imitate the Lord. I am not going to control you and make you do right, but I am going to encourage you to stay out of the ditches that you can fall in, because so many Christians have fallen into ditches and they have become traditional, and God wants to break them out of that mode. Verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in just the words that people say, but in power. I like another translation says, it's not in what people are saying, it's what they're doing. You can tell me all you want. And here we have an election. Here we got all one side coming against a sister that loves God, loves the Constitution, and it's very clear when it comes to attacking someone's faith, that it's good versus evil. And yet so many of the church fall into that. Well, it don't matter. I've always done this, so I'm going to stay, in other words, ignorant. And we're trying to say, I can't keep you from not being ignorant, but you got to learn. We have responsibility. We are created to rule and reign with Him. We gave it up in the garden. Thank God He gave it back because of the cross. And we're to rule and reign on earth. And where we have authority, Saginaw Valley. I can't dictate what's going on in Washington, D.C. I can't dictate what's going on in the UP. But I am placed here, and wherever my feet tread, the Holy Ghost goes with me. Wherever your feet tread, the Holy Ghost goes with you. And greater is the force of God inside you. And you know here, you all got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is all sufficient. And He says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. What a confidence builder we got. Why would you need to follow man when you got God Himself inside you? Religion wants you to, though. You better follow me because this is the only right way. No, Jesus is the only right way. And you can learn Jesus in a lot of different structures. Church, folks, is not the building. We are the church. Building is lives. And we're supposed to be a blessing to lives, especially those of the household of faith. It doesn't say just of the household of the church you go to, but the household of faith, which means we should not speak negative, whether it's a Amy that's running for Supreme Court justice, but if she stands for Jesus Christ and she represents to stand for that which is wholesome and right, how can we be on another side? Someone says, well, why do you got to drill that? Because the church can't stay ignorant. We have got to grow up.
Wake up.
Wake up. That's good, too. Kingdom of God is not. So this is what I like how Paul says it. What do you want me to do? Shall I come to you with a rod? Now, we looked at the rod today, but that's not the kind. The rod there is worshiping and acknowledging God. This rod is, do you want me to come and force you to do what I want you to do? Or come to you in love and gentleness? See, I can't change anybody but myself. But I can give others the biblical principles and hopefully the word itself because they'll have ears to hear. Huh, I wonder why I'm in this rut. I wonder why it always seems like everything falls apart. Who are you listening to? Who are you hanging with? Paul says, imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. I'm telling you, I stay surrounded with mighty men and women of God that love God that I can trust because they have fruit that show me that. That's why I love the Franklin Grahams and the Jonathan Cahns and the prophetic voices out there. I love my Christian brothers and sisters. 60-some percent were of evangelicals supported our president before because they didn't believe he would do what he said. Now that's 90-some percent because they've seen the fruit. He's done what he said. And I don't care if you don't like his personality, he is standing up and he just recently, some of you caught, I'm a different person. I'm a born-again Christian. He says, I'm non-denominational. I'm thinking, well, good. I'm telling you, he's getting close to falling into getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Next thing you know, they're going to come against him like they did Amy Bartlett because he's going to start praying in tongues. Oh, no, not that language from the devil. It's not the language of the devil. You build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God. And I'm not telling you to follow me. I'm saying follow me as I follow Christ. So let me break that down. Go back. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. If you were so happen to be blessed with a spiritual father, I'm going to tell you, you're rare. But that doesn't stop the Word of God to shake fathers to the forefront. That we be those that will rise up and make a difference for our children and our children's children and for those that we're in relationship with. Another rendering when I broke down this boy leaders, not vision. Everybody wants to be looked to. They want to be a boy leader. Another rendering of a boy leader is a slave master. Did you ever heard that term? Some people hear the slave master term only when they look at the plantation mentality. But I'm going to share where how it's crept in to the church. A slave master uses communication and coercion to get a group of people, which we go back to the plantation days, it would be the slaves, to get them to do what they want them to do for the benefits of the rich, the plantation owner. And what would happen is the plantation owner would look at all these acres of whatever they got, we'll say cotton. They said, this is worth a lot of bucks, and I got a love of money, which is the root of all evil. Now, how am I going to get all these individuals to do what I want them to do? And you know what they do? They look out. Who's influential? Who do we have out there that can influence others? It didn't necessarily even have to be a black person. It could be a white person. And they became the slave master. So they begin to convey whatever needed to be conveyed to get the servants to do what they wanted to do so they'd have a mighty harvest. Sad, but that's how it worked. And that's how it's continued to this day. Christians have stayed ignorant because they've let slave masters control what they think and how they operate to control them into a narrative to benefit somebody. And I'm not talking about biblical principles. And so we see the development. We see the harshness. We see what took place. Do you know that Hitler first came across as a Christian? Do you know he conveyed, oh, yes, I'm a church person. Do you know what he began to convey to his German region? He realized, all these Jewish people have a lot of wealth and a lot of money. You think it was just a bias because they were Jewish. No, he wanted their wealth. He wanted their possessions. And they, as the Bible says, God has always blessed the nation of Israel. That's why we're excited now, because America is getting behind and we've got our embassy now in Jerusalem, and we also have recognized Golan Heights as part of the state of Israel, the greatest other nation right like us that gives people freedoms. So what did they do? They thought, I'm going to convey that these are evil people trying to take all the wealth of Germany. So they looked out for voices to begin to share. And you know that many of the slave masters were also Jewish? They were influential, and they wanted part of the pie. So they said, this is good. We're going to relocate you to a safe place where you're going to get all the benefits, the gas chambers. And because, we're going under all kinds of, they just like robots, I'll load up on the train, and they went to their annihilation. And you think, how could that happen? There is something about people's words of persuasion and coercion. And there are people that will continuously try to control. Now, listen to me, church. When I give you statistics, it's statistics I came. 95% of the news media are atheist. And yet they are controlling the narrative on a high percentage of Christians that are using them for the basis of what they believe in so that they can satisfy the Soros and all those with the big bucks and get them to do what they want to do. I'm telling you, church, we wake up. We should not be controlled by anybody, and we should serve Jesus. And no longer be ignorant to the schemes and the plans. Amen. And how many know that when the Jewish people were loaded on the trains, when they finally got to their location, they were to dump all their goods in a pile? Do you know that even before that, they were pilfering their homes in which they moved out of? I'm telling you, wow. And then we know God's bigger than Hitler and his slave masters that were controlling this narrative. And we've got to break that. We got to see the change. I know you follow this, but it's important if you don't, because there's some places that weren't even covering this. Media, 95% atheist. And the narrative that was projected out there, that things were being divulged. And Silicon Valley is not our friends. I'm sorry that we use their tools, but they are controlling what they want us to hear and not hear. And I'm telling you, we can't be ignorant. We got to know what's the living word of God. And we have to not allow them to control our narrative by shutting down and only allowing us to hear and to see what they want us to see and hear. If you think they're our friends, they're not. They're not looking to build up the Christian faith and give Christians the right to say and to be who they are. They want us to be conformed, and they're going to tell us a better place, a better way. I'm here to tell you there is no greater nation on earth than the United States of America. And it's because we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles and the living word of God. Our Constitution was based on the living word of God, and we serve a living God that has not forsaken America or Israel or our Christian brothers and sisters. And we see the entertainment thing, and we see a lot of the professional sports now have been bought by China. So what do? We get the narrative, oh, they're okay, as they're genociding their people. And Christians are being put into jail because they're standing up for their faith. We've got an underground church, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in China, that would probably put us to shame. Because they're going through this hell, and they're still standing for Christ. They are not our friends. Are they individuals? Are we to fight them? No, there's principalities and powers of darkness that are blinded us, and the church is waking up. We're being shaken free of our stupidity. Thank God. Thank God that we're waking up to truth, and we're no longer going to be controlled by that narrative. My wife will tell you, we're 30 years of ministry, and the things I've been fighting in my own spiritual battle has been the religious sector. Not the Christian brothers and sisters. The religious sectors that tell you we are the only way. We got the only truth. If you go anyplace else, you're wrong. You're an error. Every move of God produced a new denomination. Now, I've got to be careful because there are good people and all, but we've got to realize slave masters have told their people what they needed to hear to keep them enslaved, like this is the only way, and we got to get free. And when you get free, and many of you got free, you no longer don't look down on those that go to other churches because you realize they're lovers of God just like we are. We need the body of Christ, not just a bunch from Shield of Faith. God bless Shield of Faith, but we have got to be connected to the body of Christ. Our Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, brothers and sisters that love God, love Jesus, they got the same Holy Ghost we got. They're not our enemies. They're on our own team. And I'm telling you this because I've never been threatened whether people go someplace else. I want you to grow. This isn't for everybody. We're a little bit radical. That doesn't make us better or worse. It makes us who we are. And we stay true to who we are. And I've had people get upset whenever we've changed something because people love not to change. And it messes people up. I mean, we used to have our worship team face the cross and not look at the crowd because we got tired of professional. This isn't about how good you play the guitar, how good you sing. This is about worshiping God. Oh, that stepped on toes. I had people mad at me. I had people leave. It's okay. Get where you want to be. But don't criticize others. We had Saturday night. We thought, well, we're outside. We'll have Saturday services. We stopped the Sundays. We had Saturday evening services. People got upset at that. People liked it. Didn't like it. It's okay. It wasn't for everybody. We were there for a few years, and then we came back to Sundays. But we're always trying to stretch us to get out of our boxes. I mean, you might think it was a stretch because we got things separated like this. I mean, I picked up, well, what are we listening to our governor now? I'm listening to Jesus. Yes. And Jesus says it's not a threat to have our seats separated. It's not a threat to let people wear masks. It's not a threat for people not to wear masks. This does not control the narrative. We give people freedom to do what they have to do to fulfill their walk. And your way is not the only way. Jesus is the only way. And if we're a father, we should be by our example telling people, follow me as I follow Christ. I don't follow a governor. I don't follow a president. I support those that support the innocent lives and that. But my follower is Jesus. My hope is in Jesus. My eyes look to him where my help comes from. And I'm challenging the body of Christ to focus on Jesus. Amen. And realize when the Bible says judgment begins first where? Well, why wouldn't it? The only ones that are going to make a difference are going to be who? Who did he give the ruling and reign? Who did he say, I went to the cross and I give you the keys to the kingdom to go rule and reign? Who was that to? The body of Christ, not the world. They don't even understand it. But we should, because we're not just happy to come to church and put in time. We're looking to study, to show ourselves approved, faithful Bereans that listen to what happens here on Sundays, but go and search. Is that really true what Pastor said? Does he really care about babies in the womb? Oh, he knew us before he placed us in our mother's womb. Oh, let's follow the science. If we really want to follow the science says life starts at conception. Now, we believe it. The Lord knew us even before we were conceived. Oh, all of a sudden, we're not going to follow the science anymore. Science says he knew us before he placed you in your mother's womb, and his gifts and callings are irrevocable. He never changes his mind. Well, Pastor, what happens to those babies? They go to heaven because they're innocent, but I'm telling you, there's destiny and future. So I'm looking for men and women to stand in the gap for the most vulnerable, the most essential. It's the next generation. And most people, I'm telling you, come on now. When you hear this thing, oh, why do we not want to support Planned Parenthood? Listen to what they say. Planned Parenthood, they're not planning people to be parents. Right. They're looking for big bucks. And you look at those that are escaping, over 600 last count, that got to see what really it was all about, murdering little babies in the womb. It isn't a planning for being a parent. It's destruction of life, and there are big bucks in it. And thank God for those that are seeing the truth. Yes. And some of you remember back, folks, because we've picketed the abortion mills. We've not to beat up the ones going in. We try to encourage them to give those babies up for adoption. Those are lives. And the mothers that had it, we tried to encourage them, because I don't care what anybody says. If somebody's had abortion, they don't feel good all the time. We need to be an encouragement. We don't beat people down. Most time they didn't understand it. But in my era, there was a movie, there was something that got filmed, and it was called The Silent Scream. Anybody remember that? The Silent Scream was they took, and before the baby was aborted, they had the, what do they call it, ultrasound, and they showed this little baby, and they showed the probe going in, and they showed this baby doing everything it could to escape. So, Pastor, don't share that. We shouldn't hear it. We got to hear it. We can't be ignorant of what's going on. And that baby was doing everything it could to escape that probe. And the last they showed it, silent scream, its mouth was open, crying out, I want to live. Who's going to stand up for the babies if the church doesn't? It's us. It should be priority number one. Some say I'm passionate about, and we are, because those are lives that need somebody to care and not be silent. And I'm going to tell you, church, those that are tuning in and so forth, we have a responsibility. Unless you don't want to be a father or mother, if you just want to be a boy leader, a slave master, you can probably give people a narrative and follow. You get some that'll follow you, get what they want from you. We're breaking it. I believe God's breaking it off the church. Pastor Mike and I notice, because when we go every month to pray with the other pastors, they're constantly going through shakings. This has not been easy on them. They're being shaken to the core themselves, and they have to go back to what do we really believe. We've allowed a lot of this nonsense to get into our church. It has nothing to do with loving people and not loving people. It has to do with things that are not biblical. They just have become normal. And if the church stays quiet, the normal gets even worse, and then that becomes normal. And next thing you know, we're looking like Rome and Greece and some of these nations that fell. Right. It was all carnality. Because right. When there's no one that stands up for righteousness, And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. We have got to be in authority. Christians have got. Vote for Christians that love God. And not just because they tell you that, but because they're doing it. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a celebration for babies. Monday, I'm believing for confirmation. I'm believing. Don't stop praying. We pray every day in prayer. Come against the stronghold to tell you what they want you to hear, to control the narrative. We will no longer be silenced. Amen. We will no longer just, but we are standing up. My challenge to every man and every woman in here to become a father to the next generation. And if you're just caught up on just loving on your biological kids, that's a great start, but that's not the end. I don't know why I didn't have any biological kids. My wife and I are still trying. The funny thing, as we have guest ministries come in, and they say, oh, you want kids? Everybody we pray to has kids. And we look at each other and says, they probably don't know how old we are. So they pray for us, and we're nice. We're still waiting. But we do have kids. Your kids are my kids. And you know that because I love on your kids. And I love to see kids that love are being raised up and trained up in the way they should go. I didn't have an option. I had a good father. I couldn't come to church if I wanted to. I had to go to church. I didn't understand it. I was bored, silly, but I had to go. Thank God. Thank you, Dad, that's now in heaven, that you made me go. Even when I was being a stupid high school kid getting in trouble, kicked out of things, thank God. My dad and mom never stopped believing in me, never stopped imparting into my life to raise me up to love humanity. Thank God, Holy Ghost, you gave me the Holy Spirit that I fell in love with people. And when you fall in love with people, you want their good. You want them to succeed. You want them to be better than they are. I can't make anybody do that, but I can encourage them. And I don't choose to do things to make people feel bad or feel guilty. I choose things that hopefully, if others see me, and my wife will tell me whether we're in here or wherever, I am who I am. And I don't want to lead anybody astray. I want to be the best example I can. Why? Because I'm something? No, because I house the Holy Ghost. And God is raising up men and women that will be strong in what they believe in, will know the Word of God, not to follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ, but not to follow me. I'm no more anointed than you are because we got the same Holy Ghost. Right. Isn't that a revelation truth that if the church would get a hold of that, oh my gosh, we wouldn't pick on anybody anymore because they'd realize they got the same God in them as we do. Instead of, ooh, if you're called to the fivefold ministry, you got a real powerful anointing. You got a powerful anointing when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And the more you realize that, the more you operate in it, the more you grow up and you become more and more powerful because you already have the power source in you. And we have the keys. Whatever we bind here is going to be bound. We're going to continue to bind that COVID-19 off this. And everybody that's tested negative, keep binding with me. We're binding. I can't pray world prayers. Because I'm not responsible. I'm responsible for wherever my feet shall tread. And so are you. And when you come in, you should thank God every day. Thank you, Lord, you're keeping COVID away from us. We know it's a real force. Thank you, God, you're keeping sickness away from us. And we pray for those listening in. Wherever you're looking at, wherever you're walking, wherever you're working, God has given you that area. You work for that employer to be a blessing there, to set a great example, to not cheat your boss, but to bless your boss. And if you've got a group that you're hanging with, you are the light of the Lord on you to bring people to Him. They don't care what you say, they want to see what you're doing. And I'm telling you what, the most attractive people in the world are those that love God. And that's why the enemy's after you. That's why he's after our kids, because they're the most attractive kids because they are lovers of God. Don't compromise that. That'd be precious in a relationship called marriage. One man, one woman for eternity. And if you've been through, because I know most people have been through a hard thing, it's okay. God forgives. Get back up and go again. But don't we want what's best for our kids? Amen. They shouldn't have to go through some of the hard. I don't want kids to go through what I went through in high school, getting kicked out of things. I want them to not get into the stupid stuff. Amen? So what do we need to do? Because we're not following man, we're following Jesus. Study. Make the word part of your livelihood. Have a communication in prayer. And hang around fathers and mothers in the Lord that will put nuggets in you and not try to get something out of you. Other than we want to get the devil and his stupidity. And I'm telling you, we have a church filled with good fathers and mothers to pattern. And I don't know how long we're going to be on earth, but as long as we're here, don't we want to lead people the right way? And so does the Lord want you that are listening. So hook up, understand who you are, grow in the Lord, and be the best you can be for Jesus. Amen. And he'll use you to touch lives. You don't have to. God bless our youth pastors and all they sacrifice to do and give. Are they a good example? There's a father and mother of the faith. Wow. Colleen, Dave, and our children. Gosh, never ask for anything. Continuously train up children, whether we got a couple or we got a dozen. God bless our children ministries. Yes. And now we've got a ministry to the young adults. Thank God for Jenny and all those that are coming. And thank God for you that have connected and made a priority. You want to know what I strongly suggest? And I know everybody in here that's been here very long knows I'm going to say this. Get connected to others in a cell or a Bible study where you are not a lone ranger to yourself so that you can bounce things off one another. In a multitude of counsel, there's safety. A wise man surrounds himself with wise counsel. Wise counsel are mothers and fathers of the faith. Because if you got that in your life, there's a safety hedge and it'll cause you to stay strong, encouraged, and built up. Maybe that's a pastor's heart, but I believe it's a father's heart. I know what works. I know when people isolate themselves, they get mad. If they don't get reconnected, they fall away, and I hate to see that. When somebody leaves here and I haven't seen them in a while, I hear they're hooked up someplace, I am happy. When they're not and they're floundering, it doesn't make me happy. But I can't change anybody but me, and neither can you. But we're going for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. All you mighty men and women that hear what the Spirit is saying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray right now, if there's anyone that's come into this service that's not made you Lord of their life, or maybe they're listening and they just by accident or whatever tuned in, but they have not been walking with you, I ask that you cry out and ask Jesus Christ to come alive again in your life. If you've never received him as Lord, say, Lord, I know I've been in sin. I ask you to forgive me, and I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. And the Lord says, immediately, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the old passes away, and all things become new. And then when you do that, don't isolate yourself, but get connected and be an encouragement to others. And we give you the praise, and we give you the glory. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Greet one another. Give people their space if they need it. Love on one another. Thank you, Lord.